we can get. It is a absolutely gorgeous morning. And it's even getting temperate. It feels more like California this morning than it has for these first couple of days here. Back after this, we're live at Santa Anita. Always special. Sirius XM at the races. Stay with me.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts breeding program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Serious. Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now. At
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good second hour. 10 plus, what do we got? 10:15? I was busy, frankly, playing around with my cinematic effect, with my video. Hammer, somebody has clearly buttonholed Hammer. All right, so he has not returned. He has not returned with Uncle Neil in tow. We mentioned earlier the situation with training. And, you know, just these horses lightly jogging. And you're talking now Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So 5 days. And, I mean, if rain comes again tonight, they're not gonna have a chance to, other than what, Thursday and Friday, to gallop into, it certainly feels like, I mean, at least to gallop, maybe not work, but to gallop, you would think that it's adequate. I mean, certainly yesterday, and actually the way the track has dried this morning, I would have thought that, and as you can tell from Hammer, you know, he's still feeling his way in terms of, you know, how the determination has been made as to, you know, when, you know, the levels of exercise that, you know, the horses can engage in. And the, you know, one issue is you know, not that 3, 4, 5 days is going to guarantee or you know, somehow heavily impact the horse's fitness, but it doesn't help. You know, you want your horses as fit as possible coming into, you know, any spot. So it makes things very difficult on the horseman to have, you know, and you understand the, you know, the cancellations because of weather is one thing, and that everybody, you know, everybody is adjusted. But even, you know, even under that circumstance, you know, you train a horse under certain timing, and you're giving them certain amounts of exercise and you know, the timing of the workouts, etc. You know, hoping to peak at a certain point. And the hammer's back. I Rick, Uncle Neil headed home.
Yeah.
Great. Gary Studi coming up to say hi to Hammer. But you know, when you're working toward a certain assignment, and you know, you're trying to achieve a certain level of fitness, and you know, throwing that off and missing a work, you know, how often do we, you know, do we talk when it comes to, particularly to the, you know, the biggest things, Derby, probably the, you know, the one fixture on the calendar that everybody focuses on more than any. You know, it's always going to be, you know, all three of the classics, and similar kinds of standards are always going to be in the same place on the calendar. You know, Travers is always, you know, the last Saturday of August. Any hiccup is a problem. I mean, there's no other way to really characterize it. As many challenges as the horsemen already face, this is an added layer, an added wrinkle. I see the familiar blue saddlecloth coming by with the two white pipings, and that, of course, John Sheriffs. We always like to watch for John because he's one of the fun conversationalists to engage with when we're here. Much like Neil, but I did see that Neil went back toward the barn, but it does have a diminished atmosphere here, and you know, there's a handful of people. Rick, I was just sort of vamping and just you know, talking about the difficulties that not being able to train to everyone's, you know, to everyone's formatted schedule, and what it, you know, how it affects everybody, and you know, what that challenge represents.
Very much so, and you know, there's not a lot of smiles down there because you know, a lot of stuff going on in the head, what they're going to do with their horses here, not only the ones that just need regular training, the ones that are in for the weekend.
Well, and that, not to kind of roll into another topic, but does this reinforce the case that's not to be made, but the reality, Rick, of the private training center scenario, where you know, where horses are training, quote unquote, on the farm? I mean, if as a
There's not that many on the farms around here anymore.
Well, that's fair too, I suppose.
The land is has become so valuable.
Outstripped the value of it as you know, as farms. But other parts of the country, I mean, if the scheduling or the, you know, the rules governing training schedules, if it's impacting to that extent, I would imagine it just makes the case stronger for those that train on farms. I suppose, you know, and you think about Ocala. Ocala is a great example. You got plenty of operations that are, you know, training at the various Morrison and you know the other facilities, and you know, there's plenty. And what about Fair Hill? I mean, look at Fair Hill and Payson Park, you know, that are operating, you know, that don't have the same restrictions on them.
No, but private facilities are private facilities. But any facility, like in California, any facility that's a registered training facility would fall under the same guise as here, to some extent. So, you know, it is what it is. It's a crazy, crazy winter. Like I said, everybody outside the gates is jumping up and down for joy that we got rain. And, you know, we can, you know, turn the faucets on again in July and August.
I'll fold in. I've got two. One thing that is so to me is so heartening about the audience and you know the community that we engage with the show, and got communication on a regular basis from horsemen and horsewomen in particular in this case, and got two notices as we talk about this topic. One about the horse engaging in essentially a trot for 20 minutes will keep a horse at a level fitness, until they can resume their full training. But at the same time, I've got a second notice, and I don't want to, I'm not going to put names out. I don't want to pin anything on anybody in terms of where the thoughts are deriving, but also the concern about a fit horse then engaging in rigorous exercise after days off and not maintaining it, that opens them up for potential of tying up a whole different concern.
Yeah, well, maybe after Andy's on, I can find somebody that can explain the routine what's needed to prevent that situation.
Well, and you know, Dr. Scalay has been on. She's been on this tour. I mean, she just did one the other day for Maryland.
She was here yesterday.
Well, I should, you know, she would be ideal. I mean, to talk about how some of these decisions have been made and derived, because obviously they're being done in concert with, you know, veterinary supervision.
Exactly. I know she was here yesterday talking about the new
the administration of
Haiwu.
Haiwu.
Coming in theoretically or hopefully for them and everybody else on March 27th.
Well, in fact, Matt Hegarty wrote an extensive piece in DRF last night. And in fact, I know that Dave Grenig, I mentioned I had the conversation with Dave Grenig yesterday, and Dave sat in on the conference call, as it were. And you know, Lisa Lazarus said that they're confident that the FTC, the deadline for the FTC issuing the rules covering the anti-doping and medication control, it's officially supposed to start March 27th. And, well, obviously, I've sort of avoided some of this conversation knowing that next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday we'll be at the HBPA convention in New Orleans. And,
you'll hear the other side of the story.
Well, not even the other. I mean, just where things stand, and they're still waiting for the 6th district for their ruling. The fifth district has made it very clear that they're not budging on their ruling. But it doesn't necessarily matter because the HISA is it's incumbent on them to make this deadline. They have to go forward. Whether the court cases the court cases aren't obviously going to be decided by the end of the month, which starts tomorrow.
No, I think there's two states that are left out, and that's West Virginia and Louisiana from this situation. And I actually listened to the talk in there, and I'm a little behind on some of the upcoming rules. But one thing she did mention was there's going to be a new LASIK study.
Well, that was part of the original agreement, quote unquote.
I actually put my hand up. So LASIK is not dead. I said, no. They're going to have a study. It's going to be a 3-year study. They're going to form a new committee, and at the end of 3 years, they're going to come out with whatever they come out with, and we'll go from there. Because I had thought originally LASIK was just going to be phased out by some certain date, and that was going to be it. So it's going to be as is for now until they come up with this study and see what happens. So there's a few other things in there that I don't quite understand, so I'm not worthy to talk about. But they sound like they're together. I got to give them credit for making the rounds. That was part of the problem, which is a part of any problem, any rules, is communication to the people that it affects. So there was a room full of horsemen in there. Yesterday afternoon for about a little bit of an hour presentation, more of a one-way talk, and there were some questions afterwards about the new how it's going to happen March 27th and the new group and some more stricter rules on things and testing, but it's laid out. You get popped, boom, this is what you're going to get. This is how it's going to affect. And I, in the whole scheme of things, people are not that upset with the rules. They're especially out here in California. Actually, some of the highest rules are going to ease what's going on here, and they are looking for uniformity. They want whatever their rule is going to be. It's going to be the same everywhere. There's no piling on. You can't add to the rule. You can't take away from the rule. So, they're at least going out and giving it to the people. Like you said, Mary Scollet was here. She's going to be in Kentucky, I think, next week, and tell the horsemen what's going on. One other thing before we get real quick. I just noticed that Michael Dickinson won the. Did you see that? Won the John Galbraith Award for outstanding entrepreneurship in the industry, presented by the University of Louisville, for obviously his decades-long creation of Tapeta and the Tapeta surface, which has outlasted them all, and is basically the only one that's in the tracks now. And he and Joan, who have put this thing around, and they figured out that, hey, we can't just have one product and put it in every track. Each track that they put this surface in is individualized for the conditions of that racetrack, and that has proven to be a winning combination. And anyone who knows Michael, he can be a little bit out there on stuff and get a little bit crazy, but I'll never forget back in the 90s when he was talking about this thing. He was going to have this farm with this surface, and he was so excited about this Tapeta surface, and sure enough, he did it, and it's it's helped a lot of racetracks.
No doubt, it's the one that has survived, right? I mean,
it survived because of
it adapted
the persistence of he and Joan, and personalizing each surface.
Exactly.
Where I think some of the stuff was, it didn't matter if it rained or it was hot, same stuff went in, and nobody can do. Oh, gee, it's not working. And then when you pick up the phone, there was nobody at the end of it. So here he comes out, and not here, but at Golden Gate, like there's Tapeta up there. But he'd come out and service it, and, you know, he knows this stuff. But I was proud to see that for him, because he's the crazy inventor, the crazy mad scientist.
The mad scientist, the original mad scientist.
Without a doubt, but sure knows how to train a racehorse. Then he knew, and he knows what they need, and he gets it. So I was happy to see that for Michael.
That's good. Nice. I did not actually see that piece of news.
Yeah. So this is, and we've been friends for a long time, and so we trade barbs back and forth and hear from him occasionally, and
we've had fun. We've had great, great discussions with Michael over the years. And in fact, I was disappointed. In fact, at Arizona this year, that he wasn't.
No, I don't know. I don't know what he's up to. The farm's been for sale off and on for a little bit. I don't know if he's phasing out. If he's phasing out or what he's up to. I'll have to give him a buzz and see what's up. But he's been a fixture for decades. You know, and he's done things. He's done a few things in the game that no one will ever do, and especially the steeplechase game, finishing 1, 2, 3, 4.
That was Cheltenham.
Yeah, in a 30-horse field or however many there were. Incredible. There's actually a very good, if you want to Google that, there's a couple good articles that explain all that stuff, and just amazing. And then, of course, the DeHaas and, stuff you can't make up.
Well, a lot of times we can't make up conversations with Andy Serling, and we're going to have one of those right now ahead of and in fact Andy happens to be in Saratoga, and of course we'll go to Saratoga immediately after we talk to him for the Hall of Fame finalist announcement. Andy, good morning.
Is that taking place at the Hall of Fame?
I don't know if he's. I don't know if Brian has got a any kind of a formal. If there's just a press release, or if there's any kind of a press function, but he's going to be on the show to announce it.
I won't be going out in the snow, in case you're wondering.
Oh, how much snow do we get, by the way?
Feels like a bunch of inches. Feels like about four inches, something like that. We had some snow.
All right.
But, it's still snowing, but I think it's supposed to taper off soon. It was supposed to be about 7, but I don't know if that's what came.
I
haven't taken an official tally. My job is a weather person.
Andy, can we now say that if somebody's 4 inches, a bunch of snow is 4 inches? Can we put that in the weather dictionary?
Well, is 3, a bunch is 4?
I don't know. I like 4. Four is a good number for bunch. It snowed a bunch. We got 4 inches.
Well, they got snow here, too, so it's of course, Andy, you're...
Well, this is really getting off to a really exciting start.
I just was going to say to you that, obviously, Rick Hammerly with us, and, I mean, I could turn it over to you guys for some musical...
No, let's not.
Yeah, there you go.
Andy, looking forward, I told everybody... I talked to Dave Grenig yesterday, and tomorrow they'll draw that Saturday card, and they're now expecting the potential for also eligibles in the Gotham. Dave said he's got a list of 15 now.
He must be bummed. What's he going to complain to me about?
Exactly, right?
He's worse than I am. I don't know about that. It's tough to be worse than I am.
It's going to be fun. We're looking forward to that group coming. And he said it's a very sprint. It's a lot more sprint oriented than derby type, quote unquote, Wood Memorial types.
Well, it's a race that can easily be used as a prep for the Wood and for other races, and horses can get the Derby from it or other Triple Crown races. You know, Cloud Computing was second in it, and we've seen horses come out of it in the past, obviously. It's also a race that, as you say, horses can, they may eventually end up in races like the Bayshore or the Woody Stevens and Alan Jerkins, which is a pretty good place to end up if you're good enough and the timing's good. And you look at these preps. I mean, you look at the Fountain of Youth. I mean, obviously, the Fountain of Youth is extremely top-heavy with talent when you have last year's, you know, champion, Fort or Forte, depending whether you want to pronounce English correctly, and Blazing Sevens, you know, and a maiden winner that looked pretty good, and General Jim, who ran that, you know, decent race in the Swale. But other than that, it's six filler, right? It's a 10 horse field, and there's six, or so you're getting bigger fields, but people are taking shots in these races, and okay, fine. I mean, who, you know, we haven't seen what Ford can do this year. I know everybody's excited about Arabian Night, but I'm, you know, I don't understand quite why we're supposed to be all head over heels about him, other than him being a Baffert horse and Bob having, you know, so much success over the years. But he hasn't exactly run huge numbers, you know. He's running the same figures that pretty much everybody's running at the top of it. So I don't think there's some big dog out there that's scaring anybody off now. There's no reason you can't dream.
No, exactly. And we should, you know, we'll fold in the weekend action, and of course, the Rebel and that Honeybee part of the cross country on Saturday, and the coverage on Fox. This always feels like the transition, you know, these couple of weekends between the Risen Star, the Rebel, and now Gotham Fountain of Youth, San Felipe. This feels like, you know, the place where if there's going to be horses that are going to step forward, now's the time.
Absolutely, and I was glad to see, I mean, the stakes at Santa Anita came up extremely strong, which is nice. If for no other reason, I don't have to hear people complaining endlessly on Twitter about California racing. It's nice to see them having good feels. There's an interesting article I was reading this morning that Dave Brennig wrote with Al Gold, and he was talking about Slip Mahoney. Saying like a number of things, but he's talking about Slip Mahoney, and, you know, Al, who is a smart guy and has been around the game a long time, but I thought Al, you know, he was talking to Slip Mahoney, he said, I don't, we're trying to Gotham, but right now he's sort of basically saying, you know, it doesn't really feel like he's a Derby horse at this point. You know, he's run okay figures, but as he said, there's probably 50 horses out there right now that are better than him. And I thought it was a refreshingly honest appraisal. And Slip Mahoney's a nice horse, and I don't, you know, in no way was suggesting he wasn't, and nor was Al, but I think he was also being realistic in understanding, as opposed to saying, hey, you know, I'm going to win the Gotham and then I'm going to beat the Derby. I didn't get that impression at all. So I thought that was a good article.
On that topic, actually, I just happened to pull up, what did I do with it? Where I just had it here. Here it is. It is notable, actually, if you go through the last, I don't know, 15 years, the couple of horses I forgot that won this. State First.
Red Bull.
Well,
Red Bullet.
Well, I didn't go that far back, but Stay Thirsty won it, and well, of course, Morello won last year, and
he didn't exactly go on to do anything at this point, right?
No, I guess.
Well, he went an allowance race at Laurel, so I guess that is a ringing endorsement for a race. You're a good call.
By Jack. Hanson,
another. Well, you're really loading up with the good examples of Gotham winners.
What's wrong with Vijack?
Vijack.
What's wrong with Vijack? He won $1.5 million.
Okay. Which off the top of your head, what races did he win? Are you looking it up?
Well, I looked it up. He won the City of Hope.
The reality is that you look through it, and lately it is not a. I mean, Mischievous Alex did win the Carter the next year. Then he fell apart. Eichel went on to do nothing. Enticed went on to do basically nothing. Jay Boy's Echo did nothing, but the second place finisher, Cloud Computing, did win the Preakness.
There you go.
Chigoff did nothing. Though the second place finisher to Chigoff was. What's his name? Second place finisher Chigoff was good. No, it's years before. I'm thinking it was a maiden of Southern Equine, but it isn't the horse that won the.
Oh, I know who you're thinking of. Yeah. Starts with an M.
I mean, Sam Rat was
Moreno.
Okay.
Moreno.
El Camir, yes, Moreno was. Moreno was 14. Hanson was a 2-year-old champ, but he didn't go on and do much after that. Stay Thirsty did, obviously. Awesome Act did not. I Want Revenge could have, but he got hurt.
That's right.
Visionaire won the King's Bishop.
Yep.
Cowtown Cat was last in the Derby. Like Now did nothing. Survivalist did nothing. Sarah County was a nice horse. Unfortunately, he died, but he did win the Sprint in Dubai, right?
That was George, right? That was George Weaver.
Yeah. No, I'm wrong that I thought that Red Bullet won the Sprint. He did. He won in 2000. He won the Preakness. No, I mean, it hasn't been filled with you know, there's some good horses to win it, but it hasn't been a race that has had a massive effect on the Triple Crown. That is correct. That doesn't mean it can't. It doesn't mean it has to.
Well, give us your thoughts on what we saw Saturday, and
You mean at Oakland?
Yeah, the wet track always complicates things. But I tell you, horses were coming from all different spots on the track. It's not like
I know it is problematic, and it's not their fault. But it is amazing how frequently
crazy
it seems that these races at Oakland are run on sloppy tracks.
Yep.
And they've had especially bad luck with the rain this year, but they've also not had a single cancellation, which is unusual at Oakland. I think that the winner's a very nice horse. You know, whether or not he's a Derby horse, it's hard to know at this point. But he's a nice horse. I mean, you have to give him credit. He was close to the pace. The pace was extremely hot. The pace basically fell apart. And he finished, and he held off the closers. I thought he ran very well in there. I have no argument with him being a very deserving winner of the race. You know, the second-place finisher is an opportunistic horse that's going to confuse a lot of people. He's going to be like that bad horse. Who was that bad horse last year from Arkansas that kept closing that everybody thought was a Derby horse?
Barber Road?
Yeah, he's running in an hours of one or two at Oakland on Saturday, on Friday. It's, you know, he's going to be people's Derby horse, right? I mean, Belmont horse, you know. He's a suck-up close type. He's not an untalented horse, but he's also been opportunistic. The pace has been fast, and he's done well. I thought the third horse, it's Timiatine now, right?
It's yes.
Baffert, but
yes.
That horse was probably the best horse in the race. I mean, yep. He didn't break that well. He didn't seem to be sort of, I mean, he's a horse that could be forward. He was nowhere near the lead. He was well back of the pack. It seemed like it took him a little while to sort of figure out what he was doing. And yeah, the pace was fast, which you have to factor in, but he got completely sawed off in the stretch when the horse inside of him came out just as the second place finisher was going by him and sawed him off, and he re-rallied, was coming at the end. You could make an argument that he could have been the best horse in the race. That would have been a different story on a fast track, but there are a lot of ifs, but he's the worst. You know, he and the winner are the ones I want out of it. I wouldn't write off Verify because he ran so well in his return, but I do think because of this weekend's performance, it's important to point out that in his prior start, he just got completely, you know, crushed in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He's beaten 10 lengths, and yes, he improved against a weaker field, though they've come back to justify his big figure. He was a little too close to the pace in all likelihood. He didn't have a comfortable path to get there, but he hardly ran particularly well. But I wouldn't want to dismiss him off one effort. I'd give him another chance. He still might be okay. But right now, you have to wonder if the allowance win this year or last year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile is a more accurate portrayal of where he belongs against the best horses.
No, a good assessment, and I put up that picture of Johnny Velasquez, who, you know, I happened to be able to stand there and listen to him explain to Jack Wolf and to Tim Yakteen the trip and all the different things, and Johnny.
What was confusing about it? Which part didn't they understand?
Well, no.
Pretty obvious, right?
But, no, he was just elaborating on the way in which. The way in which the colt was reacting to certain things, and that included, you know, the kickback and kind of shying, when horses came on, you know, came over on him, and in essence, Johnny was saying, he said he weathered the storm really well, and Johnny said, you know, he absolutely was going to get a ton out of it. Johnny was really excited about the performance, and told Jack and Tim Yakteen they should be feeling
so
good.
So a jockey
forward
after a big race was positive about a horse to the owners. Has that ever happened before?
Well, but no, you're. I mean, you're,
I'm just trying to figure out.
No,
Rick knows a situation where it happened.
Well, Rick had to run down to the Palazzo here, but
he couldn't take any more of this.
No, he couldn't take any more. The point was that, and Johnny's going to have his share of choices, but
right. But the question I would ask his audience in taking this horse over Arabian Night. Now I might. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I agree with Johnny. I think the kickback is BS. The horse had no problem running through it. He's a professional. I think what he showed, I think what you're saying, Johnny, was saying was, this is a horse that's shown that he's okay with adversity.
Yeah. which is,
you know, nothing really went right for him. I don't think anything went, you know, other than the stress trouble, it's not like things went horribly wrong. They just didn't go right. So they went pretty wrong. And he still ran very well. And,
exactly.
You know, unfortunately, he wasn't second where I could have used him, or one where I could have really used him as well, because the winner was an insane price. I mean, one thing we did in the show was, you know, Richie and I talked extensively before the race about how the big overlay in the race was the winner. For what it's worth, he was 22-1 at the time. It was 18-1. That he obviously had credentials, and he'd run well in the fairgrounds race. I guess that race was flattered. I'm sure people will move up Instant Coffee, which is fair. I mean, I think his trip in the fairgrounds race, Instant Coffee benefited from what he did in doing the dirty work. And I think he's a good example of, you know, the importance of understanding how horses run their races, because he had been the one who survived the pace the best. He still lost by 7 lengths to Instant Coffee, but they were moving up front in that race, and his performance obviously was much better. Was he a little fortunate that the third finisher had a tough trip? Sure, but that's racing, you know, and the fact that he was forward enabled him, and the fact that Baffert's horse didn't have the speed he might have had, which might benefit him somewhere down the road, but it didn't benefit him on Saturday.
What about the girls' race, where Wet Paint looked absolutely mired on the back stretch, and as you might say, came running like a wildebeest?
Well, I mean, everything worked out perfectly for her. Pratt was patient. She was able to find a seam inside. But it should be noted that she's really the only horse that closed any ground in there. I don't know how good she is. You know, you've got a 3-year-old filly crop where they're running low to mid-80 buyers. So right now, nobody has emerged in this crop to show that they're a top player. There's a lot of horses around that might be good. Wet Paint certainly is one of them. She's also never run a dry dirt track. That's not to say she won't be better on it.
Right.
But she's never run a dry dirt track. She's been sliding through seal tracks every time she's run, actually. I thought she ran fine there. She was clearly the best horse. I don't have any argument with that. But how good she is overall, I don't know. None of them. They're you know, we're going to see the runner-up in the pre-lineal. They moved Leave No Trace, is running back in the Devona Dale.
Yes.
Against that good horse of Rusty Arnold's, and as well as second place finisher in there. Is that a mile around one turn? Yeah,
the Devona Dale.
It's a mile and 16th, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, right now, I mean, could I be right about this? Is Rusty Arnold's horse, what is that filly's name?
Red Carpet Ready.
Is she the highest figure of any of these 3-year-old fillies?
She
was 87 buyer last time.
That feels right.
That's pretty amazing. Yes, yeah. Wet Paint's always been on a sealed track when she's been in the dirt. That's pretty amazing, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That you're going to be in March and the highest figure. I mean, well, that's not fair. What's her name? Ran the bigger numbers. Plank did. Who knows when she's coming back? She probably is more of a sprinter type. And the Rapoli horse is good. The Espresso. Espresso Martini, is that her name?
I can't remember either.
I'll look it up. I'll look up the Devona Dale and I'll find it. The horse that Broker made with a 91 buyer up, or 90 or 91 buyer up in Saratoga.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, all right. All right, I forgot about her.
She hasn't come back. I don't know where she is. I don't know if she's training. I hope she is. She certainly has a ton of potential. She ran the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
You don't mean Chocolate Gelato.
Chocolate Gelato.
That's who you mean.
I don't know. His names are so, but it's hard to keep track. I don't know how Mike keeps track of them. She ran terribly in there, but she's a better horse than that. Chop Chop obviously bombed it. Took herself sort of out of it. Tom's horse, who knows what Tom's horse is at this point after that race last week, but, you know, Wonder Wheel was mediocre in her return to Tampa. I guess she could improve. I thought that the Malathoughtful ran well, Julia Shining, but she's still yet to run a fast race. I thought it was the best race she's run at Tampa. I think clearly it was. But once again, none of these horses have done anything to suggest they're particularly fast.
What?
I mean, frankly, there's an interesting race coming up. Is it the... I can't keep track of the names of all our races.
In New York or where?
Um, In New York, yeah. The mile race this weekend. What's it called?
The Busher?
Yeah, is that it? Is that the race, the Busher?
I think it usually is, right?
I idiot, what do I know? Yes, I mean, there's a, you know, you've got that Rob Falcone horse that broke her maiden first time out by a pole. Zerati? I think she got like an 83 buyer or something like that. And the horse that finished second there came back with a nice win the other day. And Asset Purchase in there, and she ran, I want to say, like a 78-ish, somewhere in that buyer, first time out winning easily. The Chad Brown Clarvish horse. I mean, they could be okay, those horses. You know, they both run once and run reasonable numbers. So, I you know, listen, I mean, Search Results came out of this race 2 years ago and almost won the Oaks. So, people might not be paying attention to this race, but there's a couple of potentially okay horses out of that race. And whether or not they go on with it is, you know, far from certain, but
well, it should be a terrific between the Overflow Field and the Gotham, the Busher. It's also the Tom Fool on Saturday. And by the way, speaking of Klarovich, Chad Brown horse, that undervalued asset. What's her look in the Devona Dale?
I don't know. She's got to improve to beat Rusty's filly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But
obviously she's talented. She's run well in two starts.
Yeah, exactly.
She has a right to improve. I mean, both those horses do, no question about it. Yeah. Yeah. No, they're both interested in there. That's a good race. Yeah. No, she got a 72 in her debut at Aqueduct and ran an 82 in the Forward Gal.
Yep.
And we'll see if she can take a step forward. Rusty's filly is very promising. Rusty's filly is an Oscar performance. I mean, he is really, he was sort of the most, he may be the most interesting new sire last year. Is that fair?
That is fair. It absolutely is.
Had success as a turf stallion and have a filly like this on the dirt. That's a real feather in his cap.
Well, after talking to Rusty on Monday after the Forward Gal, I had to reach out to Heedley Bell and let Heedley kind of, you know, take a few bows.
He was very nonplussed.
He
said he thinks that Oscar Romans just had a, you know, a turf year. they should be excited about it.
Very excited.
Oh, you know, he leaves at Bill Rich and they're standing him. And no, he's exciting. I agree.
Well, nobody's going to be more excited than I sort of am. I think I'm rooting for Leave No Trace a little bit because there's nothing more fun than getting Phil Serpy after a big win and letting Phil, you know, kind of run off. He's so animated and he'll get excited.
I like the movie, and it's based on a book that I loved. It was written by somebody that went to the same college as my brother. It was given to me by our friend, the late Carla Gray. So that's why I like it. I always think of Carla when he's pushing up. You know, there's a B Jersey horse in this race. The Infinite Diamond is a daughter of B Jersey.
Yeah. Well,
that's the horse that won the Met, or was second in the Met. That horse win the Met or was second in the Met?
He.
Asmussen. I don't think I ever ran again.
Correct, and you know, we were sort of hip to B Jersey because of Sid Fernando and Chuck Fipke.
Or as opposed to the rest of us that read the PPs.
Well, no. What do you mean, read the PP? The PPs of B Jersey? Who are you talking about? You're talking about Infinite Diamond, but you're referencing B Jersey, who did win the Met.
You said we were hip to. We were hip to B Jersey.
Yeah, I mean,
of course, Sid, right? Yeah. He won the Met.
Yep. Well,
remember who he beat in the Met?
No.
He took the same route that another horse that never went on to anything else did. The more reason, right? He won the Sexton Mile, and then he won the Met. He beat Mind Your Biscuits.
Oh, by a zop, right? By an absolute, like a nose.
Yeah, by a nose. Yeah, he had a lead, and he held him off. Santana rode him. He never ran again. He was a Jersey town. Jersey Town won the Kelso.
It's all Chuck Fipke and Sid, frankly. And
yeah, it was a good move bringing that turf horse over to run in Japan, come Japan in the dirt. It's the funniest race.
I'm not going down this path with you.
Well, it is pretty crazy, right? To bring a horse all the way over to Japan, there's a turf horse to run a turf race. I mean, in the scope of funny things I've seen in racing, that one's right up there, right? Probably not a trainer's call. What do you think? Jersey Devil in the Cigar Mile, by the way, pays $70, $71. I guess the answer to me would be, well, you wouldn't run in the Cigar Mile either, which might be true.
You know, I just pulled up, and now you got me.
Who is it? I would have. You got a 106 behind Brebon, the Bold Ruler, before that. So I don't remember how you paid that price. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no, I just, it's interesting. I pulled up that, you got me to pull up that Met chart. And you know, B Jersey, Mind Your Biscuits, Limousine Liberal, who I always enjoyed from Ben Colebrook.
You are a limousine liberal. Or at least have been accused of that.
I'm a Chevrolet liberal.
Yeah, right. The, you're an Edsel liberal.
I'm an Impala liberal. I had forgotten that Bolt Doro essentially was eased in.
Oh,
there.
He ran as a 3-year-old, right? And, that was his next start after the Derby, is that right?
And was eased, essentially, and I'd forgotten.
I was going to joke and say I picked Bolt Doro, but I actually think I might have picked B Jersey. But I might have picked Bolt, and I might have picked him second to Bolt Doro, and I don't think I picked Bolt Doro worse than second or third.
Well,
I've had worse Danny Gavin days.
What is notable here is the Stallions, and I'm not making the Met as a Stallions race, but B Jersey. Well, it's unbelievable. B Jersey, Good Samaritan, McCracken, Awesome Slough, and Bolt Doro all participated, and they're
Bolt
all.
Bolt Doro's turning out to be a good stallion, but on the other hand, he was a very good horse.
Yes,
things didn't fall well for him on the racetrack after that big race to 2-year old.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean he wasn't a super, super, super talented horse.
Well, that group is all, you know, Good Samaritan has been getting winners of all different kinds. Awesome Slough is a bargain from Ocala Stud down in Florida. That's
but you're like a walking advertisement.
That's me.
You really are. That, you really are. You're like a walking billboard.
I could probably go out in front of those tax preparedness places and spin one of those signs. You know, like the. Andy, you're heading home a couple more days in Saratoga.
Yeah, I'm going back tomorrow.
Very good. All right. Well, we're going to get ready. You know, Steve Crist is joining us in about 15 minutes.
I think it's really touching that I get bumped from my spot for one of Steve's 3 appearances a year.
Well,
my mom wants to thank you for that.
You should be spending.
I just pointed out. Thanks, Steve, for me.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
Andy, I wish I could listen, but I actually don't. But I'm sure Steve will give me one of the Steves will give me a highlights later.
Steve's excited. He's excited about
there's nothing he likes more than coming on your show. It's always a big moment for him.
It's so ridiculous. Andy Serling, everybody, and yeah. Yeah, we do, I think. What do you got? Who you got?
I got Brian Beach.
Brian Beach?
Brian Beach.
My man.
He's right down here. He's going to come up. He's returning from semi-retirement.
Oh, all right.
And he's back on the scene.
With jocks? With
take,
a jock?
He's coming back to take Victor again. Victor Espinosa.
How about that?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Can I?
He's coming right
let me,
here
let
now.
Me take the break, though, because it's got. You, I got it. I got right. Brian. I got right. The release now, right this minute. Casey, let's take the break. Our last of the morning. I've got to get the 11 o'clock, you know, embargoed information out. Then we'll get Brian Beach in for a quick visit, Steve Crist, and Steve's a late sleeper, so that might work out fine. And then Papo is going to join us later. He has come up with a claiming angle that on Form to Win that is going to help people pick winners and bet winners. Back after this, we're live at Santa Anita. It is a glorious morning. Brian Beach sitting in front of me, who not yet. We got to take a break. Brian Beach, who gave me a call with Alex Solis at Saratoga. You were there for, you had been there for 3 minutes, and the first start for our Aussable Chasm. She ended up winning later in the meet with the late Miguel Mena. It was his only win of the meet, and That was after Angel had spun us with Johnny. He said, oh, it's a big day. It's a big day. Johnny's got 10 mounts. I'm going to cut you. Thank you. And we ended up winning. So that's there's a lesson there for somebody. Back after this, we're at Santa Anita. It's unbelievable.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is running like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Serious X.